This morning's scripture reading is Mark 1, 9 to 15 in the NIV version. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit set him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Holy God, we pray that you meet us here in our hope and our heartache, in our fear and our joy, our cupped hands and clenched fists. And if even if we don't hear the words, "This is my beloved," ringing in our ears, we will trust that you are always and forever meeting us here, running towards our hearts. Amen. I think the church calendar is kind of strange. I feel like we just talked about Jesus' baptism, and sometimes it feels a little bit like we're doing Groundhog Day, and just doing the same thing over and over, as if we're reliving the same year, year after year, over and over. And so, in true form, once again, we find ourselves here in Lent. We do this every year. Heck, why do we even come to church every single week? I've heard it said that pastors have three sermons, and they just riff on those three sermons throughout their ministry. I'm still trying to figure out, I know what one of them is. I'm still trying to figure out what my other two are. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you probably know what my other two are better than I do. So, but like, if we're hearing the same thing week after week, like, why are we still coming here? And the best reason I can come up with is that we're forgetful. It's not enough to hear that we are loved and called to love every once in a while. We need to hear it every day, actually, every hour, even. But at the very least, we need to hear it once a week. We need to hear that truth, because we forget. So this year for Lent, I'll be using the theme again and again that so often again and again is used for kind of negative things, like when we hear bad news or disappointment, and we go, "Again? Ugh." Individually and collectively, we make the same harmful mistakes again and again. We refuse to learn from the past. So it's not just during Lent, but it's especially prominent during Lent that suffering and brokenness find us again and again. We doubt, we lament, we mess up again and again. Jesus, the story of Jesus on the cross repeats again and again. When the powerful choose corruption over violence, when lives are taken unjustly, when we forget how to love, these things happen again and again, and it all becomes so overwhelming. It seems never ending, and we raise our heads and we just shout, "Again? How long? How long, oh God?" But there is hope. Because God shows up again and again. Despite our best efforts to push God out of the way, We are met by God, repeatedly forgiven, and mercifully shown the way. In Mark's gospel, we learn of three significant events in the life of Jesus, just as he begins his ministry. First, we've got his baptism. And that's where God claims Jesus as God's own beloved son. And then we're given Jesus's experience in the wilderness. And then finally, after John the Baptist's arrest, Jesus begins proclaiming God's nearness and calling for repentance. There are a few things to understand in those three things. First and foremost, God made the first move. God meets Jesus at the water before he even steps foot into the wilderness. Then Jesus declares God's nearness and reign. God's affirmation and love isn't a result of Jesus's success, but precedes Jesus even starting his mission. The other significant point is that God's closeness throughout each pivotal event. God tears open the heavens to be with Jesus, to be with us. And while Jesus is being tempted, God sends angels to attend to him. And then God is so present that Jesus can't help but to proclaim it. God's presence in the Old Testament, though, is a little controversial. The ancient Hebrews understood God to be so holy, so powerful, that catching even a glimpse in your peripheral vision would mean certain death. So thankfully, there was this division between the earth and heaven, between people and God, and that would prevent us from seeing God face to face. But it also kind of prevented God from moving in as much as God wanted to. But at Jesus' baptism, everything changed. Heaven is torn apart. And the Greek word that Mark uses is schizo, which means to tear or to rip. This doesn't give us the impression of something, you know, tender or peaceful or quiet. It's not like the soft opening of a glass sliding door, or like when you gently crack a door open to peek your head inside to sleeping children to make sure that they're okay. What I envision here, that word schizo, that tearing, that ripping, I envisioned like clawing and slicing and ripping and shredding. It's like a child on Christmas morning tearing open a present with anticipation and joy. There's so much excitement as God shreds open the divide to meet us. And God just can't kick it in here quick enough. Another thing that I think of when I read this and I think about that separation, that divide, that sort of like a wall, is there's a poem that Robert Frost wrote in 1914 called Mending Wall. And I'm not going to read it because it's very long, but the gist is, they're two neighbors that come together in the spring, and they've got to repair the stone wall that divides their properties. And the speaker, he's working, he's repairing the wall, and he wonders why this wall is even necessary. Like, all he has are apple trees, all his neighbor has are pine trees. They're not gonna, like, cross over. The pine trees aren't gonna come and take his apples. His apples trees aren't gonna go over and pick up the pine cones. And the neighbor just simply quotes the proverb, good walls make good neighbors. So this poem makes me think about the way that God actively breaks down those barriers that we have, both between heaven and earth and the ones that we build apart to separate ourselves from one another. It's not just the heavenly divide that God breaks down. Jesus also breaks through walls in his ministry. Those barriers between Jew and Gentile, man and woman, rich and poor, clean and unclean. We build these walls up, and God tears them down. We build walls to fence in our own ideas about who God is. We try to contain God. As if we can say that God belongs in that place, but not in this place. As if we can control where and when God comes and goes. The speaker in Frost's poem astutely wonders if walls really do make good neighbors. And he asks, before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out. And I imagine God wonders why we spend so much of our time and energy on walls. Instead of building and maintaining these expensive and time-consuming walls, we could be building relationships and just systems. We could be building the kinds of things that remove the very need for walls in the first place. Our Reformed theology is one that emphasizes God's initiative. We don't have to go seeking God. God breaks through all of the barriers that we have made to find us. Throughout my life, my church participation has ebbed and flowed, but no matter where I was or how I was thinking about God, I always felt God was close by. God kept finding me through everything. Again and again, God meets us where we are in order to claim, equip, and to send us out to do God's will. God meets us in those liminal spaces, the edge of things, in those spaces where we're tempted to build walls. All of those times of uncertainty and suffering and doubt. And even in our own reluctance, God meets us. God meets us in those scary places of our lives. At the threshold of something new, something unfamiliar. And God promises to watch over us during our time in that wilderness. Because we are part of God's covenant with all of creation, God names us beloved. God doesn't meet us because of what we do, but because of who we are and whose we are. Again and again, God meets us where we are, but doesn't leave us there. we shift from that sinking sandy ground into something solid and concrete. We change from navel gazing to looking at the community. We change from our personal pietism to justice for everyone. We turn away from behaviors, both personal and systemic, that frustrate God's vision for the world. This Lent, we will be invited to bring to God again and again our prayers, our dreams, our hopes and doubts. And we'll continue to love God with the same persistence that God chooses and claims us with. Amid the suffering and the brokenness that we encounter this Lent, we will still proclaim hope again and again and again. Thanks be to God. Amen.